The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. So here we are still journeying. We're in this Easter season. Last week, last Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, we closed out with the octave of Easter, meaning the 8 days that equal the one day of Easter. So the church celebrated 8 days as one day for Easter. What's beautiful is we celebrate the Easter season for 50 days, all the way up into Pentecost Sunday, 50 days. So a lot of times we start off Ash Wednesday with a lot of excitement to a certain degree of wanting to kind of like that spring training of the liturgical year for us, right? To get back into what we need to do to follow Jesus and be a more committed witness to him. So we step into Lent, those 40 days, with a lot of energy, and we get it, and we get to Easter. But sometimes what can happen is we can get to Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday's done, and that's it. We'll wait until next Easter. But no, we have a whole season. So we're still journeying in that mystery of the faith, in that living memory, in the today of our life where Jesus comes to meet each and every one of us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but, try not to too much in the homilies, but I like golf. And I don't know if you had the opportunity to witness yesterday in the Masters. You had Bryson DeChambeau after he hit a drive off into the trees and after he had a double bogey and all this stuff and was just, it was like unraveling, right? And there he is, and I guarantee you he was praying. I mean, those golfers, like, oh, look at those golfers inside the ropes. I mean, when you're inside the ropes, and you're walking, everybody's outside the ropes, the ones inside the ropes, I guarantee you they're praying and they're trying to keep their head and heart straight on what they're doing. Playing a game, sure, but games in those ways also can teach us a lot about life. So for those who aren't golfers, what was going on? He had a couple bad holes where he was close to leading and it just started to tank. Well, there he was on the 18th hole, about 160 yards out, and he hit this shot, which was his third shot on a par four, which if you get it in four, that's a par, that's even. And he was hoping to get it close. He hit the shot, it went up, it bounced once, rolled, and went in the hole. And everybody went nuts. So he got a birdie, and it was like, yeah! It was awesome. So he went from just kind of like a disaster of the tail end of a round to just something that was almost like, in a way, kind of like miraculous in golf. You know, it was like, wow. And imagine everybody, you saw everybody just, he couldn't even see the hole, but he saw thousands of people around it just like erupt and roar and raise their hands, and they were the last round of golfers finishing the day. And he saw their reaction, and he reacted. The ball went in the hole. Imagine being one of the witnesses that were around that green, outside the rope, seeing that, maybe close, maybe right up on the rope, outside the rope, seeing that, witnessing that shot. That's probably gonna be something they're gonna talk about the rest of their life. I was at the Masters on Saturday, they'll say, and I witnessed that shot, especially if he goes off and he wins the Masters by like one stroke. That'll be serious. Were you there that day? My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are inside the ropes. We are walking in the fairway of our daily life. We're on the green. We're on the tee box. We're in it. We're not spectators. We're walking with Jesus in the today of our life. We're players. We're part of it. We're part of salvation history. And in the gospel today, what we see is the whole account of Jesus, right? The resurrection account that we're gonna have. We have Peter in that first reading that talks about, hey, let me tell you, yeah, y'all stumbled, y'all did this, y'all there, but this Jesus is real and he's here to forgive us and you weren't thinking right, but I'm here to tell you, he's real and he loves you and he wants to forgive you. And thousands of people were converted that day through what? The witness of Peter. Him saying, we are witnesses of these things, of what? The death, the suffering death and resurrection of Jesus, and he's alive. St. John in that second reading, reading about, you know, hey, here's the deal. This Jesus is real. And to say that we follow him, if we follow him but we don't keep the commandments, we're liars. But there's an answer to that. Keep the commandments. Follow Jesus and have the peace and joy that only he can give. Jesus in the gospel today stepped into their life. They were afraid, upper room, trying to figure out what is going on. The gospel today is the end of the road to Emmaus account when they go back after recognizing him in the breaking of the bread. They go back in the middle of the night back to the apostles and disciples to say, hey, he's risen, it's real, it's true. We were downcast and we encountered him. And they're like, yeah, it is true. We met him too. We too, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are witnesses to these things. Sometimes it can be like, well, I don't see Jesus. I don't completely see Jesus. Neither did they. Read the accounts. If you get a chance, break open scripture during this Easter season as family members around the table. Read it before you get in your car and drive to work. Read it at school. Open up the accounts. I'm just gonna go through about 10 of the accounts right now, so it's gonna be an hour homily, okay? I would love to, I really would, but I'll go through a few of them. Memorize the account. Road to Emmaus, there they are at the beginning. They're walking along and Jesus comes and stands in their midst. They don't recognize him. And he says, what are you talking about along the way? And they're like, are you the only foreigner? Listen to the conversation, the living word of God. They didn't recognize him. They were willing, Jesus was willing to walk after opening the scriptures to them. And they said, stay with us, Lord. Come on in. You first communicants, that's what you're doing right now. You're opening the home of your heart by virtue of your baptism. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. You're opening the doors of your heart and you're saying, stay with me, Lord. I want to receive you. Like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Literally after your first communion, I'm probably gonna go to the Harris Teeter, pick up some groceries, But if I see you there, I should literally come up to you and do a genuflection. Boop. That would be kind of odd, a little different. But you're a walking tabernacle. You're something greater than the tabernacle here because Jesus comes to your heart. He loves you. And he's excited, super excited. So on the road to Emmaus, they invited him in. How did they recognize him in the breaking of the bread? Probably just like Mary Magdalene at the tomb. He looked like a gardener. The apostles, when they were fishing and someone called from the shore, "Hey, children, yeah, have you caught anything?" And John said, "It is the Lord." But it says in that gospel account, they came to the shoreline and they saw him with baked fish on the fire. Everybody knew it was Jesus, but nobody dared to ask him if it was Jesus. He didn't look like Jesus. Just like with Mary Magdalene at the resurrection account, he looked like a gardener. I bet you Mary Magdalene, in her sadness, she fell to her knees. "Where is he?" And saw the holes in his feet. In the breaking of the bread on the road to Emmaus, when he raised and said, "This is my body," they recognized the holes in his hand. When he was sitting on the shoreline with a baked fish and didn't look like the Jesus that they walked with, and he was there and they saw him and he was talking to him, nobody dared to ask who it was. But they had to have seen the holes, his glorious wounds, in his hands and in his feet. It's the Lord. That's what the gospel tells us today. He came in and they saw his glorious wounds, trophies that Jesus is showing to his Father as he sits at the right hand of his Father right now, trophies. He's saying, "Daddy, I did it for them. Daddy, we're going to send the fire of our love, the Holy Spirit, and pour it out upon the parishioners of St. Gabriel Catholic Church, April 14th, 2024. We're going to pour out our love. And why? So that we too can be witnesses to these things." It could be kind of distant, like how is our time like their time? My brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you heard the great news, joyful news, but we have a new successor of the apostles. Doesn't happen much. This past Tuesday, we got news that Bishop Peter Jugis was resigning due to health reasons. That's what was in the report. So our current bishop, Bishop Jugis, is retiring, and we pray for him, and we thank God for the 20 years of his priesthood and the 20 years of his time serving as a bishop. And we now have Bishop-elect Father Michael Martin, a Franciscan conventional that was 12 years chaplain at Duke University. Beautiful. The Holy Spirit continues to work in our times. Bishop-elect Martin will be installed a bishop May 29th. And you'll notice in the Eucharistic prayer, you probably may not catch it, but we, in these times, we do not mention the name of the bishop. We'll say we Pope Francis and all the clergy. Before, we'd say Pope Francis and Peter, our bishop, and all the clergy. But because the seat is vacant right now and we're awaiting our new bishop, until May 29th, we don't mention that name. We live it as a church. God keeps his promises. The Holy Spirit is upon us and hoping that we'll be witnesses to these things. Just close with this. Parents of the first communicants, thank you. Godparents, thank you. Grandparents, thank you. Because there's no greater thing you can do in this life than what you're doing right now. Keeping your promises that you made at the baptismal font, to raise your children in the practice of the faith and to bring them to this very, very special, special moment. So I thank you for that, for striving to help your children become disciples of the Lord. to become witnesses of these things. Amen.